Welcome back for the last hour of Issues Etc. It's open lines. We began about 10 minutes before the hour talking about the return of Rush Limbaugh to the radio. What's your general reaction if you've been listening? I've been listening, I say, off and on every day just to see if he's getting up to speed. I'll just lay it on the table for you, folks. Here's my general reaction. I've talked about this with my producer earlier this week. I think he came back too quick. He came back right out of rehab. And to be honest with you, just purely from a broadcasting standpoint, I think he came back too quick. I think he should have taken a week off, watched a lot of television, read a lot of papers, got mad, got back up to speed, and then come back. And what concerned me the most, and this is not world-shaking stuff, obviously, we're talking here about pop culture, but it's interesting to discuss here in the wee hours of this afternoon. What concerned me was the first 20 minutes of the program on Monday when he came back. A strong beginning, and then, well, listen for yourself. This is what he had to say. This is from the transcript of the program. He says, "I have to do what's best for me if I'm to succeed at this. I can no longer anticipate what I think people want and try to give them that. I can no longer try to live my life by making other people happy. I can no longer turn over the power of my feelings to anyone else, which is what I've done a lot in my life. I have thought that I had to be this way or that way in order to be liked or appreciated or understood, and in the process I denied myself who I was and denied other people I was talking to and relating to who I really am, and that isn't good. I can't be responsible." And at this point I'm going, man, sounds like he did just come out of therapy. Now, as far as we know, it's some sort of 12-step program, because he has actually talked on the air about making apologies, too. He's going through the 12 steps. Then he said, "I can't be responsible for anyone's happiness but my own. And if I allow someone else to the power to determine my happiness, well, then that's something I don't want to do. I can't do any longer. I put myself first. Doesn't mean rudely selfish. It just means that I can't depend on other people to make me happy. I have to do that myself. I'm the only one who has control over that." He spoke a little later in that first introductory remarks after he came back to radio about the rehab as being, well, he said, it's just sort of like being reborn here at age 50. What did you think when Rush came back to radio this week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That and anything else you want to talk about during this last hour of Issues, Etc. Open lines, last hour of open lines this week. Couple things, housekeeping details I've been asked to attend to here before I respond to something a caller had to say before the break. First of all, for those of you who saw the Luther movie or haven't seen the Luther movie more particularly, this is the last weekend it will be playing here in St. Louis. I know for a fact it's playing at the Ronnie's in South County, because I was just at a movie there this weekend and the placard was still up. So the last weekend for Luther in St. Louis this weekend. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Now, someone called before the break, and this was Carl on the line, if I'm not mistaken. He made reference to a conversation we were having yesterday on Issues, Etc., one of several that we've had on Joyce Meyer. We had the co-authors of the series Joyce Meyer Ministries, a Special Report from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on for about a half hour. Then we had some open lines, your reaction to the series, people in favor of Joyce, people wondering, a little aghast at some of the numbers and some of the possibilities that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story raised. The caller before the break here said, look, maybe she just didn't get quoted on the gospel. Maybe she does preach the gospel. My response, well, the proof is in the pudding. Read the books, listen to the radio, watch the television when Joyce is on, and see if she does. Now, I'll say this. Joyce Meyer certainly knows the gospel. There's no doubt about that. She can articulate the simple gospel, that Jesus is the one and only Savior of all people, that his death on the cross pays for the price of our guilt and our sin before God, that salvation is by grace through faith in him. She can use those words, and she does know what the gospel is. There's no doubt about that. She wouldn't say she has a different Savior than Jesus. She wouldn't come out and say you're saved by your works. What she adds to and thereby also takes away from that gospel is another matter. She knows the gospel, whether or not she preaches it consistently as the center of her teaching, or ends up detracting from it from the other things she says. Well, as I said, the proof is in the pudding, folks. And that quote that I was so concerned about all week from the first installment of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story is very telling. She says the Bible has one message. And that one message is, God says, obey me and I will bless you. Now, I am just certain that the one message of the Bible is, in fact, Christ and Him crucified. If there is one message, Jesus seems to say the Scriptures testify of Him, and that He is the fulfillment of what, of everything, the law, of God's righteous demands of perfection there, He lived it out in a perfect life. The one message of Scripture, if it could be boiled down to one message, has to be His obedience, not yours. And blessings that come through His death and resurrection, not through your obedience. Now, how you square those two? Maybe, I don't think you can. I don't think Scripture permits you to square those two. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So I listened a little bit more. Now, this was, I only had time to listen to the first few minutes, first segment or so of Rush when he came back that day. Tried to tune in right before I came on the air, but I wasn't able to pay attention too closely. The next day I listened as well, this time kind of off and on as well. A little later in the week I heard him say, and he was making a lot of references to the therapy, to the 12-step program. He was making a lot of references to the rehab. And I, maybe this was just me, but I noticed when he started talking about rehab, he got kind of dreamy. That's when I formulated my opinion that I think he came back too fast. Again, I say this as a fan of Rush Limbaugh. I think he came back too fast. I also noticed that his callers were running predominantly as women, which is not his target audience, by the way. I heard him say he doesn't know why this process that he's been through in rehab is reserved only for people who have problems like his. He thinks, and he said, every person on the planet would benefit from something like this, the 12-step program. What do you think? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Your thoughts on that or anything else during this hour of open lines? Let's go back to the phones. Waiting in his car, Ralph is on the line. Ralph, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks. I wanted to say two things. One, my first thing is on your comment about Joyce Myers. I enjoyed your commentary on that Jesus is the message in the Bible, if there is one message. And second thing was, if the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, and I rejoice with Rush's return to the radio. I find him entertaining. I don't agree with everything he says, but I'm glad that he was able to get through his issues.
Well, of course, I join you in that, as I think anyone of a decent mind should, that he has, through this rehab, been able to get the monkey off his back. There's no doubt about that. That's something that we ought to rejoice in, and the rejoice that he's back on the air. There's no doubt about that either. Do you find him a kinder, gentler, maybe more touchy and feely Rush this week?
I actually haven't been able to listen to a whole lot of his radio station this week, but I'll have to look out for that.
Ralph, thank you very much for calling. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Back to the phones, Roy, this time from his car as well. Roy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkins. You know, as I was tuning you in on the way home today, you were talking about Rush and what we thought, and I don't know why my mind immediately went to the rise and fall of, like, Jimmy Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and the improprieties that they never recovered from. Now, do we hold, whether they're televangelists speaking the truth or not, do we hold a preacher to a higher standard than we do a political analyst? Now, you know, since I've been listening to Rush, and you know, he gets me going sometimes, but I think he speaks the truth. you know, it's secular in nature, of course, but when he talks about facts and figures that sometimes the left gloss over, you know, at least people know he stands for something. And so I think he can recover from this, whereby a Swaggart and a Baker, you know, really left themselves wide open because of the moral issues that they always espoused.
Well, that's an interesting question there, Roy, and thank you very much for the call. Well, certainly, okay, I'll speak first of all strictly from a scriptural perspective. Does the preacher get held higher to a higher standard than other people? Be they Rush Limbaugh, political analyst, whatever they may be. Scripture says yes. By the church, there is a higher standard for the preacher. I wouldn't say it's that much higher than for non-preachers, but it is certainly high because they handle the gospel, in a way that is unique to preachers, can bring the gospel into ill repute. All right, now how that applies to the whole Rush Limbaugh thing, I don't know, because I find it odd there's always this connection made, not always, but sometimes there's this connection made among Christians between Rush and kind of a, you know, he's kind of like a secular evangelist, a cultural evangelist. Yeah, he doesn't preach the gospel. You don't hear him talk about Jesus. I'm wondering who his higher power is. That's what I'm wondering. If he went through a 12-step regime, I'm wondering who the higher power is. But there's this connection made between he's kind of the secular evangelist. And evangelical Christians, remember when we did the hour on does listening to Rush Limbaugh bring out the old Adam in you? Remember when we did that? We did an entire week of open lines. Remember? My goodness. You would have thought that I had, you would have thought that I spit on the baby Jesus, but I didn't. I was simply asking, does it get you riled up, especially, oh, sinners like we are, your sinful nature, sometimes when you listen to Rush Limbaugh? There's this odd connection made there that I've never quite figured out. You know, if he is a Christian, we all hold each other to the same standard, which is that of Holy Scripture. Of course, God makes no distinctions here. But to those that he has entrusted with the Word of God and the mysteries of as stewards of Christ, namely preachers, yes, God does say, look, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Kathy's calling from her car. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a comment and kind of a question also. My comment is, I would agree that I believe that Rush came back too quickly, but I have to wonder, on the other hand, if Rush really did come back, because the portions of his shows that I've had opportunity to listen to this week have thus far revolved completely around his return and his rehabilitation and his problems and his issues. And his, you know, the old Rush obviously is not back yet. So that's my comment. And my question is do you personally know where he stands spiritually and, you know, where he is with the Lord?
I do not. And if I did, you know, I would have to verify it. Thank you very much, Kathy. I don't know. I do know that I think he was raised in kind of a nominally Christian family. At one time, I did know his family, what church they belonged to down in Cape Girardeau. His brother is obviously a devout Christian, at least according to what he writes and his public persona, David. So maybe, I don't know. He does not speak publicly about it. He has on one occasion I've heard him refer to himself as a Christian. But he's very judicious in his use of religious language because he knows, because he's got this huge and broad audience of 200 million listeners a week, or 20, I'm sorry, 20 million listeners a week, that... you know, you bring up religion, half the audience is going to turn you off. They just don't. That's why Christian radio has such an abysmally small audience. Have you ever looked at the ratings for Christian radio? Nothing to write home about. Back to the phones. A listener, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. Mike, I've never been on this medicine, so I don't know, but I have this H. Winter Griffiths book, Complete Guide to Prescription Non-Prescription Drugs, and it states that it is OxyContin is it says habit farming, yes. Prescription needed, yes. Available in generic, yes. Drug class, narcotic, and an infrequent side effect, ringing or buzzing in the ears, since he had problems with hearing.
Thank you very much. Well, this is something that was almost immediately uncovered by the press, and that is OxyContin, one of the drugs that Rush Limbaugh admits to being addicted to, along with a form of Tylenol and codeine and several others, but OxyContin was the high-powered one, is associated, when used in large doses, with hearing loss. Whether or not that was why Rush lost his hearing or not, no one knows. And really, at this point, it's irrelevant because he lost his hearing and he's not getting it back. And there's no doubt about it, it's habit forming. Now, the caller before this last one said she doesn't think the real Rush is back yet. From what she's heard, much of what he's been talking about revolves around his treatment, revolves around this stage in his life, revolves around this place that he's at in his life. I always am interested when people talk about the place that they're at in life. Have you noticed it too? Well, at least one caller verifies what I seem to have noticed, and that is, I think he came back too soon. I think he should have had some time to decompress after the therapy sessions, and because it sounds, you know, when he says stuff like, I can't be responsible for anyone's happiness but my own, if I allow someone else to have power to determine my happiness, then, well, that's something I don't want to do. I can't do it any longer. I put myself first. I can't depend on other people to make me happy. I have to do that myself. I'm the only person with control over that. It sounds very un-Rush-like. The rugged individual. Ann's calling from Crestwood. Ann, welcome to Issues,
Etc. Hi, good afternoon. Now, you were mentioning his hearing and whether the OxyContin might have caused that. He discussed that the other day, and he said that the doctors had said that was not the cause of his hearing loss.
Okay, good. That's nice to hear.
If that's true. And I was waiting, you know, with a bated breath that first day when he came back on. And what he reminded me of is I have one sister, which I've mentioned before on the radio, who is studying to be a monk in some New Age Society of the Ascension up in Canada. And she's the only person in our family who's gone through the 12-step program and is very kind of touchy-feely and dreamy, like you say. As a matter of fact, she's very, very much a dreamer. And in hearing him, I was thinking of my sister and thinking, I'm not real comfortable with the way he's responding to everyone right now, so I'm anxious to see how things play out over time.
So am I.
And I do hope for the best for him.
as do we all, Ann. Thank you. Oh, yeah, thank you very much, Ann. She said I was going to ask her a question, but she'd already answered the question. Well, I'll ask you then. Do you think it is a touchier and feelier Rush? Do you notice a difference here? Temporary? I don't know if it's temporary or not, but a difference. Rush, like it or not, is not only a phenomenon in broadcasting, and I've said it in public, I've said it on the air here, I would not have a job doing this if it were not for Rush Limbaugh. Talk radio would not be what it is today if it were not for Rush Limbaugh. He broke the mold, he broke all the rules, and he made talk radio an entity in the United States and worldwide through, you know, just a groundbreaking program. A 3-hour long format, no guests, my goodness. And he carries the show on his shoulders and his shoulders alone. There's a lot to be admired there, not the least of which is just enormous talent. What I am just amazed at is that he was able to function on the air. If I have too many cups of coffee, I have a hard time getting through 3 hours of radio. I was just amazed he was able to function on the air while being addicted to prescription painkillers, a tribute perhaps to his constitution or just simply to being that experienced and that talented. But do you notice a kinder and gentler, touchier and feelier Rush Limbaugh on the air today? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What I found most peculiar is when he said, you know, every person on the planet should go through this, should go through the 12. I'm assuming he's talking about the 12-step program, because not every person on the planet can afford to go to a posh and exclusive rehab center, but 12 steps, I think, is what he's talking about. I know people who've been through the 12-step program, and they don't talk about, you know, giving someone my power over my happiness and I'm in control of my happiness. Kind of, I don't hear them talk this way. Maybe most do. I don't know. Bob is calling on the line. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I hate to change the subject a little bit.
No, go right ahead.
I was commenting on the Orthodox gentleman who spoke in the first hour regarding the Episcopalians.
Yes, Terry Mattingly.
He made the comment that money held the Episcopalians together to some extent and would make a split difficult. And I was wondering, to what extent do you think that holds all denominations together in America, even our own Missouri Synod, considering so many of the problems that we go through? And I just wanted to make that comment and question and let you mull all over that.
Bob, you had to open that can of worms. That was the most interesting thing that I thought. Terry is just, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most interesting writers and one of the most interesting subjects of not only subject but participants in conversation that there is out there. Terry Mattingly, that is. He was a guest earlier on the program. And one of the most interesting things he had to say, among many things, we have talked about the Episcopalians up and down the flagpole on Issues, Etc., until, you know, I frankly didn't think there was anything more that could be said, and he actually had things to say that I'd never thought about before, never heard before. One of the things he said, that which you mentioned there, Bob, I had thought of before, because I've heard my own church body in more cynical moments described as kind of just a loose affiliation of congregations held together by a retirement plan or a health care system. If those of you are not aware of the fact that most large denominations have their own pension plans, they have their own health care systems, at least as groups in larger companies. Some of them are freestanding. Some of them self-insure. Your pension, your retirement, your health care, all is tied to your connection to the denomination. If you work either for the denomination directly or if you work for a member of the denomination, like in the Episcopal Church, it would be a congregation. And my eyes widened when I heard Terry Mattingly talk about I even wrote it down, the Episcopal Church USA being, and the Presbyterian Church USA being unable to split because they're held together by a retirement plan and there's simply too much at stake. The properties, the endowments, all of these things, but you all got to remember the other side of the ledger too, the debt. There's a lot of money in something like the Episcopal Church USA, but when you lose 30% of your members in the last 30 years, you're probably going to have accrued some debt, too. So whoever gets the baby at the end of the Solomon's decision not only ends up with all the assets, they also end up with all the debt, too. Is it true of other denominations? It depends on when you ask me that question. In my more cynical moments, I would say yes. Certainly to a degree. Certainly to a degree. And that is sad, that church bodies or denominations should be held together by anything other than the pure teaching of God's Word and the practice that comes from it. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
True Christian prayer begins in the Word of God. As the Christian meditates upon both the commands and the promises of God's Word, he is moved to pray, to confess his sins, to seek the forgiveness that is in Christ alone, and through prayer to hold God to his promise of mercy for Christ's sake. Hi, I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. It's translated by Pastor Matt Harrison. You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find more information on our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy.
Earlobes, should they divide us?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the powerful book on how to witness effectively called Why Won't They Listen? Well, Ken, now I've heard everything after 10 years with you in the studio, hinting that somehow earlobes might divide people. What's going on here?
Well, actually, I'm going to make a very serious point here. Sadly, particularly in America, many people, even within the church, divide over skin color. Often those with what's called white skin segregate from those with what is called black skin. Although, actually, all people have the same skin color. That's because we all have the same pigment called melanin. Now, people really have different shades of the same color. It's actually a very insignificant surface difference between us all. Now, people have different shaped earlobes, some long, some short. Well, no one seems to segregate over these, and yet they're also minor surface differences just like skin shade. Sadly, the teaching of evolution has particularly fueled racist attitudes towards people with dark skin. This is one of the reasons some people have racist attitudes towards those they consider black. But just as earlobes don't divide people, so skin shade shouldn't divide either. After all people are related because we're descended from the same parents, Adam and Eve.
Find out more about the origin of all the different people groups when you read Ken's fascinating booklet on the origin of the so-called races. The free booklet is available on our website, AnswersRadio.com.
In public discourse, always be skeptical of claims made by organizations promoting an agenda.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion advocates preach about protecting women's safety and repeat the mantra of back-alley abortions that claim the lives of thousands of women each year before Roe v. Wade. But it's an incredible lie. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control reported that 39 women died from illegal abortions in the year before the Roe decision. 39 is a tragedy, but it is also a fact, just like the fact that over 30 million children have died from abortion since Roe v. Wade.
The Susan B. Anthony List is dedicated to supporting pro-life legislation, training candidates and activists, and promoting pro-life leaders. To view all this month's commentaries, visit our website at sba-list.org.
AM 850 KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Thursday, November 20th, 2003, Cornelia Lindwedel. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in loving memory of her husband and her daughter who have gone to meet our Heavenly Father. Once again, a very special thank you to Cornelia Lindwedel of St. Louis, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsor.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes left in Open Lines, Issues, etc. We're talking about the return of Rush Limbaugh to radio and anything else you want to talk about. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Sunday night on the program, we're going to be answering the objections of unbelievers with Christian apologist and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. That's live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Now, our time is short. I will take a few minutes here, though, before the time runs out for us, to tell you about our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November. Believe it or not, November is rapidly running out, too. We got 10 days left in this month. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is, and I said this before, has been one of my favorites. They're all good for various reasons, but this has been one of my favorites. In this little volume, translated by one of our regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, the book is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. In this little volume, you will find the perfect antidote to the kind of errors that were propagated by little books like The Prayer of Jabez. You know, remember that prayer that if you prayed it, God would expand your territory? That so-called Christian book on prayer that had but one reference to Jesus Christ on the cross, talked more about Jabez than Jesus. That little prayer that if you prayed it, God had to answer it. You remember that? Well, if you want to see what Christian prayer really sounds like, get our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November. It's called Meditations on Divine Mercy. These are prayers from the pen of Johann Gerhardt, 17th century Lutheran theologian. You can order the book by going to Concordia Publishing House. They have two locations in St. Louis, one at 3558 South Jefferson. Jefferson and Miami is the intersection. in St. Louis, or here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. That's 801 DeMunn, for those of you who need the address here in Clayton. You can also call them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can also browse before you buy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find information on Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. When you call or write or when you go in, mention Issues Etc. It's open lines. I don't know about this. I was thinking about this 12-step program, especially when Rush was talking about this being a sort of rebirth for him. I don't know if it means that, you know, he had been so clouded in his thinking from this long addiction to narcotics, and then to come through the process of getting clean and sober is like being reborn, or whether or not the actual 12-step program brought him insights into life that he never had before. Maybe a little bit of both. It certainly sounds as though although he says his core has not changed and his spine has not been removed, and I see no evidence that the spine is gone, and I see no evidence that his viewpoints have changed, he does seem kinder and he does seem gentler, a little bit less of the edge, a little bit less sardonic, and a little more dreamy when he talks about his happiness and getting his happiness and power over his happiness and who he gives power over his happiness to. I can't be responsible for anyone's happiness but my own. When I heard that, I thought, man, I know I've heard this before someplace. Sounds like kind of the classic. And you wonder, does this jive with his rugged individualism that stands at the core of his ideology? I have to look out for myself. He says, I have to put myself first. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The big question, I think, as history will tell, of course, the big question is whether or not this is permanent. Give him another week, another time, another amount of time, a weekend to absorb the news, a weekend clean and sober where he can do what he does in preparation for his show, and maybe the old Rush will be back. I don't know. What do you think? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. There are a few other things here as time winds down that I'd like to bring to your attention. This is connected to the first conversation that we had today as we talked with Pastor Andre about the sexploitation of our culture. You saw this story, perhaps, about these gel bracelets that kids are wearing. And in O'Fallon, Illinois, over on my side of the river, there's a rumor linked to these bracelets at one of the schools there at Fulton Junior High that these bracelets are very popular among the young ones. Depending on the color of the bracelet, signify, if you wear them, you're kind of advertising, embrace yourselves, you're advertising what sexual acts you would be willing to engage in with the opposite sex, or for that matter, I guess the same sex. So Fulton Junior High says no more jelly bracelets for these kids. They need to take them off. Because at least the rumor going around is these things are a ways of indicating what you would be willing to do by way of a sexual nature. You know, I've got a kid who's just on this side of junior high, and I'm thinking to myself, I even thought about it last night. She came in the house and she had somethings on her wrist. They turned out to be, what are the things they call when you put your hair back, when you put your hair up in ponytails? They just turned out to be scrunchies or something like that. And I go, whoosh, like that. Bob is calling from Kirkwood. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Interesting show.
Thank you.
My wife and I had the pleasure of knowing Rush's mother very well before she died the last few years.
Did you?
Yeah, and she was... I would say a devout Christian, Presbyterian USA, I believe. And anyone who knows David, Rush's brother and his wife, very fine Christian people and family.
He's been on the program, by the way.
On Rush's program.
He's been on my program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to say him again sometime then, because he's a delightful guy, really. And I've always wondered, does Rush know Jesus? And I'm not certain. I've met Rush several times, and he's, as you say, he has a very tough constitution. And whether that's changed, I don't know.
Let me just ask you, do you listen on a regular basis, and have you listened this week?
On and off with my job and everything. Some days, some weeks, I'll hear him for an hour, two, or three, and some weeks I don't.
Have you listened this week to the comeback?
some.
What is your thought? Because my impression is, and again, this is only from what I've heard, but I've tried to listen in as often as I could out of idle curiosity, that we're kind of, at least this week, getting a kind of a softer Rush.
Well, you may be right. You probably listened to him more than I have, but if he only wants to trust himself for his happiness, we know that's not right. And that's the point that disturbs me. And I think we should all, whether we like Rush's political views or not, pray for him and help him along the path to know our Lord.
Bob, good. That's very good advice. Thank you very much for the call.
Hey, listen, one other thing.
Yeah.
On Joyce Meyer, I see her once in a while, sometimes at night when I can't sleep and she's on some. And it seems to me most of her audiences are about 9 out of 10 women.
Yeah.
Which is fine. No complaint about that. But when I hear her, and I'm sure like you that she knows the Gospels well, but I can never find a thread in her message or really what she's aiming her message at. And it might just be my mind. I don't know.
Bob, thank you very much.
Okay.
Actually, she has said that her gift is being able to stand up and talk without knowing what she's going to say next. That's one of the quotes that's in the Post-Dispatch story. She's able to just get up and I think you would call that stream of consciousness. I've noticed the same thing as well. And, of course, we do want to encourage people, as we would for anyone, to be praying for Rush Limbaugh, especially when the question mark still is, does he know Jesus, as Bob put it there on the line. I did wonder, and I said this before, what his higher power is. If he went through the 12 steps, what did he say his higher power is when he comes out saying, I got to put myself first? When he comes out saying, I'm completely responsible for my own happiness. I can't trust anyone else. I can't give anyone else power over my happiness. Can't trust anyone else to be happy. Can't care about what anybody else thinks. I begin to wonder, and it's just wondering, who his higher power is. Time will tell. Tomorrow on the program, a two-hour discussion on the removal of Judge Roy Moore. Dr. David Adams joins us here in Studio A. He's from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. We'll be talking about Judge Moore being removed from the Alabama Supreme Court. Why was he removed? Is it Christian persecution? Do the Ten Commandments belong, as he says they do? All of those issues tomorrow on Issues, etc. Oh, also pray for Joyce Meyer, that she speaks the truth of the gospel. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.